For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonour their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed for ever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen. We know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow together for prayer. Our gracious Father, we come to thee. We thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee for the light that thy word provides concerning all number of subject matters that face us and challenges in this world in which we live. As we would apply the truth of God's word tonight to the pop culture and the pop scene, we pray that we would know clarity and the wisdom of God and give us the grace to pursue those things that are holy and those things that are just. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldest continue with us now and bless us for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. Here in Romans chapter 1, in the verse 16, the Apostle Paul says that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Whenever Paul says that, he is introducing this great epistle of Romans. This is what the book of Romans is all about, the gospel of Christ. And then Paul continues right through until very near the end of chapter 3, explaining why the world needs a saviour. He said in verse 16, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That simply means that all manner of people need Christ. All manner of people need the gospel. The world is a sinful place, and because the world is a sinful place, men and women need the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul goes on through chapter 1, and he brings us through the very cesspool of evil and vileness and iniquity that exists in the world. The latter part of Romans chapter 1 doesn't make pretty reading. A lot of terrible things spoken of, a lot of terrible sins spoken of, but Paul wanted to show the people who were reading this epistle to the Romans, and he wanted to show us as well, in our generation, what a sinful, evil, wicked place the world is, so that we would understand why Jesus came. Jesus came because men and women are sinners, and the world is a vile place. We're going to look at the subject of pop music tonight. And we're going to think about things that are grieving to Christians. And yet, I believe we need to have our eyes opened. We need to realise what's going on in the lives of people, in the lives of young people. We need to realize the snares and the pitfalls that are out there. The sin must be exposed. And that's a very important thing. We must realize and understand what sin is and how evil it is and why it is wrong. And we see all this in this subject of pop music. I have called this study, Pop Music, Is It Harmless Entertainment or Is It an Evil Influence? I suppose one of the factors that has made this age in which we are living different from any other age in world history is the influence, the very deep and the very real influence that music has upon young people particularly. Music is so readily available now, available on the internet, downloads, iPods, MP3 players, mobile phones. Many young people are carrying around music in their pockets, and they can listen to it anywhere, at any place, waiting for a bus, walking along the street, the earphones are in. What's that person listening to? What are they thinking about? What's going in their ears, right, saturating their mind and getting into their heart? What's there? I wonder what you're listening to. What's on your mobile phone this evening? What's on your iPod or MP3 player? What are you thinking about? Because what you listen to is what you're thinking about. And the Bible says, whatever you think in your heart, that's what you are. Now, if you're here tonight and if you're a Christian, if you're genuinely saved, and if you're listening to music that's wrong, and if you see that tonight, I believe the Lord will prick your conscience, because if you're truly saved, you'll want to do what's right. Maybe you thought some of this stuff's harmless and you're going to go away tonight and you're going to think, well, it's not harmless, is it? And then you're going to get rid of it. You're going to bin it. You're going to delete those files. I pray that you'll do that. Of course, if you're not saved, whatever your profession is, maybe you claim you're a Christian, but if you're not saved, you're not going to worry. And that would be a tragedy for you, because your heart will be blinded, and I pray the Lord would open up your heart to the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the evil snares that are for you in the world that will ruin your soul and damn you forever. So let's think about this subject. Pop music, is it harmless entertainment or is it an evil influence? Well, there are many, many forms of music, many different genres, as we know, and all these are different forms of music that people listen to, that people think about. But the question is it a simple matter of taste, age, or generation? Older people, they like a different style of music. Maybe you know some people that like classical music. That's just because they think differently from me. That's just because they're a little bit older. That's just because they have different tastes. Is it just about taste? Is it just about taste? I think that's a very important question to ask. Is it just about what you like, or is there something more important than that? And I think the question we have to ask is this: does God have anything to say to us about this matter? And that is the most important matter of all. What does God say? What does God say? The key question in relation to the Word of God and music is this: is music neutral? Now, I want to explain what this means. Is music neutral? Music, some people say that music is neutral. That means it doesn't have a bad effect upon us or a good effect upon us. It's right down the middle. Is that what the Word of God says? Does the Word of God teach that music is neutral, or does the Word of God teach that music can be bad or music can be good? And if music isn't neutral, then we should be looking for good music and we should be avoiding bad music. And deciding whether music is neutral or not, there's something we must think about in relation to God's Word. Music is God's gift to mankind. God has given us music. And we know that from the book of Psalms. So there are many references to Psalms in the Scriptures. And the Psalms were sung to music. And we know that by reading through the Psalms. You read about musical instruments that were used. And by the way, when we're thinking about that, just remember this. Whenever the Old Testament church sang their Psalms, yes, they had music, but the music was a help. It helped them praise God. But the music didn't dominate. The music itself did not come first. The words came first. And that's why the book of Psalms is such a complete book of words praising the wonder and grandeur of God. And that's what true Christian music should all be about. True Christian music should never be overtaken by the tune. True Christian music should be full of the words that glorify God. But yet, music was there in the Old Testament. We know that. The natural creation is described as being musical. This is one of the reasons why we know that music is a gift from God to mankind. Let's just look at some of these references that you'll see on the screen. We're turning to the Psalm 96. Psalm 96, verses 11 and 12. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood rejoice. We get a kind of a picture here of the whole universe, the whole of the natural creation. And they're like a great choir. They're like a great orchestra. The heavens are rejoicing. The earth is glad. The field is joyful. The trees of the wood rejoice. You know, God's giving us the indication that he's pleased with music. There's something about music that pleases him. It's his gift. And then look at 98 verse 8 of the book of Psalms as well. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together. Of course, it is something that makes man unique amongst the creatures. It is something that proves to us that man is endowed with a soul, that he is different from the brute creation. The very fact that man takes pleasure from music. Look at the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 4 and the verse 21. Here we go right back to the very origins of the human race. Right back to the very beginning of time almost, when men were first building societies and establishing societies. And you have this man called Jubal. He was the father of all such as Handel, the harp and organ. And as man established societies, they established agriculture, you have that there. The established industry. Verse 22 talks about Jubal Cain, who was the instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. You see many of the characteristics of society that we have here today. And yet you also see this man who was the father of all, such as Handel, the harp and organ. So music is one of the defining points of humanity, if you like. It's one of the things that makes us human. How we can listen to it, how we can enjoy it, how people can compose it, and how people can sing, and how people can play. And all of this is a gift from God to mankind. Now, if that is so, we must draw this conclusion. It's a very important conclusion. God is a holy God. Therefore, it was his intention that music was given to us to be something good, something helpful, something nourishing, something holy, something pleasing. Music was not intended to be bad, nor was it intended to be neutral. God's not neutral. God is holy all the time. That's his inclination. So the gifts of God are designed for holiness. And that's very important. So yes, there is good music. Should we then expect the devil to turn God's gift of music into something evil and corrupt? Does the devil do that? Can the devil do that? Is that the way he works? Oh, indeed, it is the way he works. The devil counterfeits everything that God does, and he turns it into something vile. Instead of Christ, there is Antichrist. Instead of salvation by faith, there is salvation by works. Instead of creation, there's evolution. Instead of marriage, there's immoral behavior. There's homosexuality. Instead of art that's beautiful and wholesome, there is immoral and degraded art. The devil is taking God's gifts and he's twisting those gifts, distorting them, ruining man in so doing. That's the way he works. So it is inevitable that instead of godly music, he will produce ungodly music. And so we've got to be aware of this. We've got to be on the lookout for ungodly music. We've got to avoid it. Just as we've got to avoid everything that the devil would cast in our way. There is such a thing as devil's music. And I don't want to be trite in saying that. There is such a thing as devil's music. It's not just a cliche. It does exist. It does exist. If your parents tell you what you're listening to is the devil's music, well, don't you laugh at them. It's true. It's true. Because if there is godly music, there's going to be the devil's music. I would like to show you 5 key proofs that modern music is of the devil. Modern popular music. Let's think about the history of the modern pop phenomenon. Where did it come from? The huge industry that exists today, the multi-million, maybe billion-pound industry that exists worldwide, all those downloads, all those artists, all those songs, all that is constantly being churned out. How did we get to where we're at? Where did it all come from? A lot of research has been done upon this, and it is very apparent that the type of music that young people listen to, popular music, it came from occult music, satanic music that existed in the jungles of Africa, voodoo music, the heavy beat. That's where it all come from. And that's something that should be very disturbing. Are you listening to music that has come from those kinds of origins? From there, it came to the rock and roll music of the 1950s. That was a huge landmark. Elvis Presley, all of that era and all of that generation. Then it developed further into the folk music of the 1960s and Bob Dylan. And then it developed further to the Beatles. And these are all major figures. And all of these people, deeply ungodly people, and their lifestyles, the way they lived, the way they behaved, the type of songs they sung, and all of them have had a profound impact upon the 20th century and the 21st century now as well, and upon the music that people produce nowadays. And contemporary pop has all by and large come from the roots that were laid by the Beatles. Now, let's think just about the lyrics. Now, I'm just being general at the minute. I'm going to come to look at some examples later on before we finish of the type of lyrics that some of these singers are singing nowadays. But many of these songs, they glorify immoral behaviour. Many of them, they glorify immoral behaviour. They glorify the type of sins that Paul outlined in Romans chapter 1. These types of songs have no place in the thinking of a Christian. And these types of songs will have a detrimental impact upon the soul and the morality of any individual. The music itself, it has been proved, not merely by Christians, it has been proved by secular studies, that rock music has an hypnotic effect upon the subconscious. How loud it is. Studies have been done upon the types of decibels that young people are listening to at some of these rock concerts. And the decibels are so loud, it's destroying their hearing. But as well as that, it whips young people up into a terrible frenzy. It has an effect upon the subconscious, and hypnotic effect. And that's a very dangerous thing. And then there's the performers. The performers are all anti-God. Totally opposed to whatever God is for, totally opposed to the Word of God by their lifestyles. Many of them seek after cults and Eastern religions. The Beatles were all into all of that. Madonna, she's been into all of that too. There's a catalogue of drink and drugs problems associated with these singers. They seem to live fast and loose in this world. And they are regarded as gods by millions of young people throughout the world. Some of these artists, the way the young women dress, it's disgraceful. And yet I believe that many young girls are just aping them, copying them, wanting to be like these people, modelling themselves upon these people. And nowadays we don't have gods of wood or stone, or as the Romans made their gods out of the planets, for example, and they worship Jupiter and Pluto and all that kind of thing. Don't do that in the Western world, but people worship these kinds of stars that have celebrity status, obsessed with them, what they're wearing, how they're looking. And it's a form of idolatry. And it's taking many down an immoral, ungodly road. Then there's the agenda. You know, there's something very disturbing about pop music. Something very disturbing about this culture. And that is what is known as subliminals. Messages being buried deep into the music and into the words that you cannot hear with the ear, but they're present. Videos with pictures flashing up so quickly that you can't see them, but your brain detects them. Forward masking, words being played through the song that you can't hear, but if you slow it all down, you start to hear what's being said. And the most famous one is backward masking. When you play it all backwards, you can hear sounds, you can hear words. And some of these words, well, they're dreadful. They're dreadful. And you might say, well, if you play it backwards, I'm not playing it backwards, what impact does that have on me? But yet studies have been shown that your brain can pick it up. Your brain can pick up what's buried in the music, and you don't think about it consciously, but you're thinking about it subconsciously, and it's having an impact upon what you're doing and how you're behaving. Subliminal techniques have been practiced extensively. The Beatles used it all the time. The Beatles used it all the time. Led Zeppelin, a group, a hard rock group, with a song called Stairway to Heaven. They actually had words whenever you played the thing backwards. They were glorifying Satan and talking about sweet Satan, so on and so forth. Queen, their famous song, another one, Bites the Dust, when you played that one backwards, I Love Marijuana, glorifying drugs. Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, and others have all used this. But right up to the present time, it's not just something for a past generation of people that have listened to pop music. Just look at Britney Spears there. That was a very popular song, Baby One More Time. Look, just look at what that becomes backwards. That's shocking stuff, you know. NMN in his album Stimulate. And again, words buried backwards in the lyrics. And it's happening all the time. And I was just reading on one website today where it says that a lot of research has been done on backward masking, and that there are hundreds of songs out there that nobody has really discovered yet that there is backward masking in them, for they haven't been studied. It's endemic in the pop culture. And you could very well be listening to something that is burying a message into your soul that's harmful and destructive. And that should be very, very disturbing. It ought to be. Why do they use backward masking? To relay an occult or even a drugs-related message. The brain picks up these signals even though the individual is not aware of this. We've already touched on that. So here we have the second conclusion. The first conclusion was that music is not neutral. That there is God's music and there is the devil's music. The second conclusion is, if music is not neutral, and if the modern pop scene is not of God, then it must be of the devil, and will have an evil influence upon young people. Looking at those 5 points there that I brought before you, could anyone possibly say that the modern pop scene is of God? And if it is not of God, remember, it cannot be neutral, and if it is not of God, then it is of the devil. And you ought not to be listening to it. Just a few quotations here before we go on. David Bowie said this. David Bowie is a big, big rock star. Pretty shocking thing for him to say. Rock music has always been the devil's music. You can't convince me that it isn't. I honestly believe everything that I've said. I believe that rock and roll is dangerous. There's somebody involved in the scene, proud to be part of the devil's empire. Jerry Lee Lewis, I am sorry that I was involved in the beginnings of rock and roll. I never dreamed that it would take the course that it has taken. It has helped destroy untold millions of young people the world over. Don't let it destroy your life. William Schaeffer, a sociologist. He's not a Christian. Look what he said. What is undeniable about rock is his hypnotic power. It has gripped millions of young people around the world and transformed their lives. And it has transformed their lives for evil, not for good. This is a powerful medium. A powerful medium that could very well be leading you totally in the wrong direction. Should a Christian expose himself to words that glorify sin? Should a Christian idolize performers whose lives are wicked? Should a Christian listen to words that have a satanic origin? Should a Christian risk being exposed to secret satanic messages? You know the answer to that. No, 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 and no again. Now let's take all of these principles that we've been examining and looking at, and let's start applying it to some of the leading artists today, some of the stuff that they are singing. I think it's important to do this. Some of these lyrics don't make pretty reading, just as Romans chapter 1 doesn't make pretty reading. But I highlight it for you to show you, if you're involved in it, if you're listening to some of this stuff, how wrong it is, how wicked it is, how vile it is. Maybe you would never dream of listening to pop music, but I was encouraged to hear a sister pray in the prayer meeting that she might be taught how to reach young people. And I think that's important. For those of us who wouldn't dream of listening to this kind of music, we need to know what's going on in the thinking of young people around us. We might be able to reach them and win them and pray intelligently for them and have a vision for them. I think that's important as well. So let's just look at some of the stars today. This is currently number one, according to BBC, number one in the charts. It's also well up there, I think, maybe number one or number two in the iTunes charts as well. And really, I wouldn't even put the words up. You know, there's bad language there and kind of the overtones. I think that really says enough. And yet, it's number one today. Bruno Mars, he's had quite a few hits and the top of the charts over the past while, because I know that from the last time I did this with our own young people, I think October, November time, he was well up there in the charts at that time. I looked at another one of his songs and he's still well up there in the charts today. Arrested for cocaine possession, September 2010, and just this month, February, just at the start of February, he escaped a prison sentence. They didn't give him a prison sentence. They thought they might have done. He was arrested in Las Vegas, but he managed to squirm his way out of that. But nevertheless, he still has a criminal record. And these are the types of people these so-called stars are. And here's some of the words in his song here. I catch a grenade for you, throw my hand on a blade for you, I jump in front of a train for you, you know I'd do anything for you. Very sadistic. Take a bullet right through my brain. You know, it's very sickening. It's very sickening. And that's typical of a lot of the stuff that young people are listening to. And none of this stuff can be of God, can it? Here's a song by another top artist. Bruno Mars is American. This guy here is British. Song called Higher. I do it for the kicks. I got this high without taking a pill. The move has got me away over the sun. I'm dancing like I'm the only one. So he's obviously talking about the dance floor, but the highs he's getting on the dance floor is taking him as high as drugs. And that's the kind of thing he's singing about. Just turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 6 and the verse 22. I want to just stop for a moment and think about this, because a lot of these songs, they do glorify the dance floor. And I know a lot of young people, they think the dance floor is a very exciting place. You can meet new people and you can have fun and all that kind of thing. And that's the way people think. But what does the Bible have to say about this kind of dancing? Again, the music videos that these stars put out are very immoral, suggestive dancing. Look at Mark chapter 6 and the verse 22. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. So here we have King Herod, and he's throwing a party. And this girl, she comes and she dances, and it is a very immoral dance that persuades the king to offer whatever she wants. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And the king was compelled by that girl, as a consequence of that ungodly dance, to take the head off John the Baptist. And this is the one place in the New Testament where we see something akin to the type of dancing, the moral dancing that goes on in discos and places of the dance today. The type of dancing that these kind of stars glorify. And this dance caused John the Baptist to lose his head. Just you think about that. Katy Perry, very sad story as far as I can make out, just reading generally about this young girl, 26 years of age. Father's a pastor in the United States. She started off singing Christian music. Now, what type of Christian music it was, I guess it probably became very, very contemporary, very little different from the type of pop music that we're talking about. And she just stepped over the line almost naturally and became a huge rock star. And this is a song called Teenage Dream, and it describes a young girl wanting to live a very ungodly life. It describes a young girl who wants to get into a sexual relationship and she thinks it's great. Teenage Dream. But there's no dream about that. There's nothing exciting about that. Living as only married people should live. And that's wrong, and it's destructive. And she's glamorizing that. And just turn with me in the scriptures, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. You see, the types of temptations that people face today and young people face today, those types of temptations were around 2,000 years ago when the Apostle Paul was church building and church planting. And he said, look, you've got to abstain from this kind of lifestyle. This is the kind of lifestyle that Katy Perry and others seek to glamorize. Britney Spears, big star. Turn with me, please, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. That's her latest song, and what an evil, corrupt song it is. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's look at what the Apostle Paul had to say about this kind of behavior. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul is saying people that glamorize and people that want to live this kind of a wicked, corrupt lifestyle, a moral lifestyle, will not get into heaven, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And that's where the modern pop scene is leading young people. It's leading them away from the kingdom of heaven. But thank God there's redemption. Verse 11, and such were some of you. Some of these people in Corinth, they were wicked people, immoral people, but their lives were changed. They repented of their sin. They became washed, sanctified, justified. Maybe you're heading the wrong way. Maybe you've done things that you're ashamed of, that you feel guilty about. The Lord can forgive you, but you've got to repent. You've got to turn from that. Alexandra Burke. Now, this was one that really got me. And whenever I started to research this, and initially spoke about this a few years ago because some of our young people asked me to, and then I was asked in Dungannon to speak on it and did a little bit more research. But when I was looking at this girl and this song that I'm going to show you now, it really got me for it. It was more than just immoral. It was absolutely blasphemous. Absolutely and totally blasphemous. She was a winner in the X Factor. Now, I don't think the X Factor should be on any Christian home. Nobody should be watching it, but especially people that profess Jesus Christ should not be watching the X Factor, because all it does is again glorify this type of lifestyle and this type of music. That's all it does, and it shouldn't be on in our homes. X Factor winner. Now, the song that she won the X Factor with was Hallelujah. Holds the European record for the most sales in a 24-hour period. The only female British artist to sell 1 million singles. Now, what's the song all about? And how did it ever get the name Hallelujah. Well, you know what the song's about. The song is seeking to trivialize and make fun of the sin that David committed with Bathsheba. And from your lips she drew. Hallelujah. Now, that is so blasphemous. It is so blasphemous, so wicked. David's sin was the ruination of his family. David's sin separated him from God. David's sin caused him to have his own heart broken and to shed bitter tears, and it wasn't something he sung hallelujah about. But there's more here. This song takes the Lord's name in vain. Hallelujah means praise Jehovah. It glamorizes David's sin. Sin's not something we should glamorize. It mocks a holy God. It contravenes the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It contravenes the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's all there. All those commandments are broken. You know, some people ask, you know, where's the list of do's and don'ts, the things we should do and shouldn't do in the Bible? And you know, the Bible has a very good list, and it's the Ten Commandments. Whenever you look at the New Testament, look at some of the lists Paul makes of sins, you discover that these sins that Paul lists are really the breaking of the Ten Commandments. And whenever you look at the modern pop culture, you discover it's a totally desecration of God's holy law. Now, this is another song that Alexandra Burke sung called Bad Boys. And the last time I spoke about this, there was a young boy, 12 years of age, in the meeting. And, well, he had this song on his mobile phone. And, well, he deleted it, and I rejoice at that. He took it off his phone afterwards. So I think it's well worth just highlighting this, even for that reason. And she's basically singing about the fact that she's attracted to the bad boys, wants to be with the bad boys, wants to be keeping company with people that will be a bad influence upon her. And of course, some young people seem to be attracted to the bad boys, to sinful characters. Sinful pleasure will destroy. You know, there are pleasures in this world. Paul talked about that when writing to the Hebrews. He talked about the pleasures of sin, but they only last for a season. Sinful pleasure will destroy. You'll get no good out of it. No satisfaction out of it. Evil company will corrupt. Going for the wrong company will destroy you. And it's one of the things that destroys young people more than anything, I believe. It's the wrong company. Who you choose for your friends. And sin is not something we should boast about or be proud about. Now let's go on to look at something a little bit different in relation to the pop culture. Yes, there's immorality, but there's also a great emptiness in relation to the pop culture. And some of the songs portray that emptiness, that soul that's almost bereft of hope. And you get a feeling for that in some of the music as well. Lady Gaga, now I mention her because, as well as being a very big star, she was in the Odyssey in Belfast not very long ago, just before Christmas there, and sellout crowd, I believe. So many people went to see her and listen to her. Just look at the words of this song. It's called The Fame. I can't help myself, and I'm addicted to the life of material. It's some kind of joke. I'm obsessively opposed to the typical. All we care about is runaway models, Cadillacs, liquor bottles. Give me something. I want to be retro glamour Hollywood. Yes, we live for the fame. You know, that's the kind of lifestyle that these people are living for. They're living for the fame. And unfortunately, it's the kind of lifestyle that so many people envy. That's why these glossy celebrity magazines sell so much. Because people are obsessed with reading about these people, what kind of lifestyles they live. Because there's a part in humanity that says, I want the fame. That's why so many people idolize these stars. What does the Bible say? Turn please to Mark chapter 8 and the verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall it profit a man? What are you living for? What are your ambitions? What are your hopes? What do you want for the future? you could have everything a man or a woman or a young person could ever have, and yet you could be lost and you go to hell. Don't trifle with your soul. You trust Christ for salvation. Manic Street Preachers, very popular group. Just look at this album cover. This is My Truth, Tell Me Yours, Manic Street Preachers. You know, there's only one kind of truth in the world, and that's the truth of God's Word. Everything else is kind of empty. Everything else is shifting. Everything else is moving, but the truth of God's Word, it never changes. This is My Truth, Tell Me Yours. No such thing as My Truth or Your Truth. There's the truth. Postcards from a Young Man. I got a feeling here as I read this that, well, there's just a kind of an emptiness. That's what it is to live without Christ, you know. I don't believe the absolutes anymore. I'm quite prepared to admit I was wrong. This life is such a beautiful delay. You have to fight again. These are postcards from a young man. They may never be written or posted again. These are the postcards from a young man. They may never be written or posted again. I don't believe the absolutes anymore. You know, we live in a world that doesn't believe absolutes, doesn't want absolutes, doesn't want what is absolutely right or absolutely wrong. We live in a postmodern world. You know what postmodernism is? You make up your own rules as you go along. Your morality is what your society determines morality to be. And therefore, what society determined to be wrong and immoral 50 years ago may be right and moral now, because we've changed. Man has changed. And there's nothing solid to build our society upon, to build our lives upon, build our homes upon. This is what society is like. I don't believe the absolutes anymore. But what does that offer people? It offers nothing. It offers them nothing. Yet the Word of God is something absolute, something firm, something solid. Christ, the salvation He offers, eternal life. The Bible gives us great and blessed principles to make us happy. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And there's no delight, there's no joy in this kind of thing. John chapter 15, verse 11, please. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Have you got joy tonight? Have you? One more example. Snow Patrol chasing cars. Snow Patrol, our Northern Ireland group, seem to have made it very big internationally. I think some 15,000 people went to see them in Ward Park, Bangor last summer. I think they're due back there this summer again. This is one of their big hits, Chasing Cars. Again, there's a kind of an emptiness here. I don't quite know how to say how I feel. Those three words are said too much, they're not enough. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? Forget what we're told before we get too old. Show me a garden that's bursting into life. Let's waste time chasing cars around our heads. Not much there, is there? There's all kinds of suggestive things there. Is there immorality there? Maybe. Is there drugs there? In your head? Show me a garden bursting into life, some kind of hallucination. Chasing cars around our head. What trick to fill your head with? Yet many are doing it. John chapter 10, verse 10. Look it up, please. What does Christ offer? What does Christ offer? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Thank God Christ offers you something better. Abundant life. Have you received that abundant life? Are you trusting Christ this evening? Let's think about pop music and the Christian. There are some principles I just want to bring before you quickly in closing. There's a separation principle. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. When John's talking about the world here, he's talking about the spirit that is in the world. The spirit of evil, the spirit of sin, the spirit of darkness that exists in this world. And the pop music culture is part of that. We see the spirit of the world right there in this culture that's dominating the youth scene. And we're not to love that. We've got to reject it. We've got to turn away from it. We've got to separate ourselves from that. There's the holiness principle as well. First Peter chapter 1. Verses 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You see, a holy God, he has given us good music. There is good music we can listen to, thank God for that. We have a wonderful heritage of hymns, songs. Teach us about God. Teach us how to live for God. We can fill our minds with that. It'll help us. You've got an iPod, an MP3 player. Put some of that stuff into it. Listen to it. It'll do you good. It'll be a blessing to your heart. We should concentrate on that which encourages us to holiness and encourages us to God. Because the type of things we've been listening to tonight will do the very opposite. Then there is the mind principle. Philippians chapter 4. I think this is a very important reference in relation to music. Philippians chapter 4. In the verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, this is true of music. It's also true of the books that we read. There's some terrible books that you could be reading that would be as destructive as the music we've been thinking about. It applies to the movies you watch, programs of television you watch. It applies to the websites you get into in your computer. It applies to the newspapers you read, the magazines you read. The Lord wants us to think about the things that are pure and lovely. Oh, may the Lord help us to fill our minds and to feed our minds with that which is good for our souls and with that which will bring us to God. One last verse before we finish. Take heed what you hear.